what are you in the mood to do? I mean, when you wake up in the morning, what are you in the mood to do? Well, my guest this week answers that question and more. But before we get into the episode, I just want to remind everybody that, hey, I'm Eric Jean-Baptiste. I'm your host for Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101, where we are on the journey together on how to empower, educate, and enlighten our youth and young adults better in our churches and in our communities and conferences by talking to the leaders who are in those fields who are doing just that. As we have more conversations, we learn from each other, we cross-pollinate, we glean from each other, and we grow. That's the whole point of this podcast, and I hope you have been enjoying the journey as much as I have. Feel free to check out all the other episodes that we have on this podcast on season one. And as we come to season two, we're on episode 11 right now. And it's been an awesome journey. You can check it out on YouTube, Facebook, and of course, Instagram. And where do you find it? Go to youth_mentor101 on Instagram. In the bio, you'll find my link tree where you'll be able to find the Facebook page, the YouTube, and Apple Podcasts. But basically, this podcast is available to wherever you listen to your podcast. But feel free to send a message there so I can get some feedback on what you would like to see on this podcast, or just let me know how you're doing. I'd love to hear from you. So this week, I speak with the Southwestern Union's Young Adult Tag Youth Director, Pastor Helvis Moody. He is the Union Youth Director for a very large union, and he is active and someone I really was excited to learn from. So check out on this episode after the ad. Hey everybody, Eric Jean-Baptiste with Youth Ministry and Mentorship 101 here with Pastor Helvis Moody. He is the Youth Director for the Southwestern Union, and it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast, Pastor. Hi.
Eric, thank you for having me. And just to share with you a little bit, I am the Young Adult Ministries Director for the Southwestern Union. Our office hired a young adult director. And in order to be an effective young adult director, it is important that we mentor youth. So I am tagged the youth director, but my main and primary job title is Young Adult Ministry, dealing with those who are 18 to 35. But we know that it's very difficult to just go and impact a young adult when you have so much research out there by Barner Group and others sharing that if you don't minister and mentor to them at a very young age, it's very difficult to just go to a young adult that's 19 and be like, hey, what's up? So we try our best to mentor our youth into being spiritual and positive and effective young adults so that by the time they arrive at young adult ministry, they're not leaving the church. They're not just rushing out of their parents' home, if you please, to say, now I have freedom. I can go and do whatever I'm big and bad enough to do.
Awesome, Pastor. As we go into what you guys do in your union, could you let us know a little bit about yourself, a short bio of what led you to where you are now in ministry?
Okay, so I'm Helvis Clayton Moody. I'm born and raised in South Carolina. I probably preached my first sermonette at the age 15. I've been in pastoral ministry or conference administration work or even union work for a 20-year period. I went to Oakwood for undergrad. I was double majored there in physical education and health as well as theology. My senior year, Oakwood went from a quarter system to a semester system. So it was wise for me to graduate with my degree in physical education and then go to Andrews and get my master's of divinity. So I started pastoral ministry, the Southwest Region Conference of Seventh-day Adventists in Baton Rouge and Slidell, Louisiana. Was there for 5 years at the Faith Church and the Glad Tidings Church, completed a building project at Faith, and we built a new facility at Glad Tidings. Then I was relocated to Houston or Missouri City, 7950 West Fuquay at the Fondren Seventh-day Adventist Church, where our motto is, where the sun, capital S-O-N, always shine. And the Lord bless our ministry there. Pastored there technically 8 years and 10 months. Then I was voted to be the youth director for the Southwest Region Conference, served there 2 years, and I've been in the union for the Southwestern Union as the Young Adult Ministries Director, TAG Youth Director, and Prayer Ministries Coordinator for 5 years. So that's a nutshell. I'm happily married since 14 years. All right, that's a nutshell.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
So they call me Pastor Moody, capital M-O-O-D-Y, in the mood to save souls for the kingdom. And remember, I love you, but God loves you best.
Wow, awesome. I like that. So because you have the word mood in your name, you have a nice catchphrase that you say when you introduce yourself. That's awesome, Pastor.
Because when you're dealing with youth and kids, your name is Moody Booty. Shoot it, what? You know kids.
Yeah.
So Pastor Moody, capital M-O-O-D-Y, in the mood to save souls.
Awesome. I love it. So if you see Pastor Moody, it's capital M-O-O-D-Y. All right. So Pastor, you are the Young Adult Director of the Southwestern Union. Could you let us know, for those who are not really familiar with unions, what conferences make up the Southwestern Union?
Okay. Eric, for the Southwestern Union, we have 5 conferences: the Oklahoma Conference, the Arkansas-Louisiana Conference, the Texaco Conference, the Southwest Region Conference, and the Texas Conference. There are 5 states that make up our territory: Oklahoma, Arkansas, Louisiana, New Mexico, and Texas. That's our territory.
Awesome. And for those who have listened to the podcast, a few of the youth directors that are under that union have been on the podcast previously. Pastor Andre from Texaco, Pastor Ortega from Oklahoma, and former Texas conference people such as that are now at other levels have, and Pastor Paulo Tenorio has also been on the podcast. So it's quite interesting to have that team work with you. How do you interact with conference youth directors? Are you someone that implements the vision, or do they just need you as a mentor or someone to lean on, or how does that work at your level?
So mainly I am here to support and serve the conferences however they need me. So sometimes I'm with them at camp meeting, I'm with them at youth rallies. We do have a vision here at the union, and just to say it short, I'll just give you just some of it, not all of it, but we believe in equipping and empowering. So we don't try to micromanage, and I try to allow my vision to be driven by the local conference, because the union job is to hold the hands up of the conference and support them and give them the resources that's needed so that they can be as effective as possible in their local areas. So I do certain things, like I'm hosting a young adult cruise, but we all come together, we plan it, they invite their young adults to the young adult cruise, or we may do a young adult ski trip, some things we've done in the past. Then annually we do a More Compassion mission trip, which goes with being the sermon, all right, that is the GC initiative. We do one on a union level 1 week before the GC Global, so the second week of March, we do one. Then the third weekend of March, they do one. All right. So each conference will do one, but I roll one out from a union level and we go somewhere and help support and build up collectively. And then after that, they do one in their local area. So we also try to do here at the union level, the public campus ministry piece. So that's a young adult piece. We have huge universities in our area. OU, Oklahoma State, LSU, Texas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, down in El Paso. You know, we have huge universities all over our territory. I just named a few of them. Then you have some mid-majors. Then you have UTSA. You have ULL in Lafayette, Louisiana, 18,000 students. Then you have smaller schools. So how many students are not going to our Adventist schools and we still want to keep them actively involved? So I kind of lead that initiative, and the young adult slash youth directors support me with that, and I support them with that, equipping and empowering them. So those are some of our major initiatives with our young adult piece.
Yeah, it's really interesting hearing that, because what I've been getting talking to union level and even North American division level is that those in those administrators in those roles, especially in youth ministry, is not to propel their own vision, but to assist the conference level vision and be a support to them and an outlet for training and resources and things like that. So it's really interesting to hear that you are doing the same in your union as well. With that being said, you mentioned there's a lot of huge universities. You're dealing with engaging with public campus ministries. So one of my questions I have for you is, how do you find the time? How do you schedule your day and your agenda? Because this is a massive, large union with a lot of constituents and people to engage with in youth and young adults. So how do you plan out your calendar and your vision and your agendas?
I'll try to answer that. Let me see how I can answer that the best way possible.
No problem.
So basically we have annual meetings with the youth and young adult directors. And I'm saying that because different conferences have a young adult director and they may have a youth director. Other conferences may have one person, that's both. Okay, so when we sit down and we listen and we hear what their plans are. I try to figure out how I can assist them. And I also give them the plans that I think that will be beneficial for us collectively to keep camaraderie, because we also grow when we work together and we also learn from one another. So I plan my calendar technically a year in advance. So I allow them to drive the major ministries. And then after the major ministries, and because I'm at a union level, there are other things that the North American division may have that we support. So automatically next year's general conference. So that's a 10-day window that we will prepare mentally to support or help however we are needed. So that those are things that go without saying that we may sit at the NAD level, the GC may call, however we just mentally prepare to be ready to support however it turns out, okay? That's generally. But then for local, we're able to say there are certain things that you know you're gonna have on a union level. For example, and I'm gonna transition the example to a youth piece, and an arm of that is club ministries. So you have what they call PBE, Pathfinder Bible Experience. Well, to get to the national level, you still have to have a union level. So that is going to be, you have your conference level, local church, they go at their conference. If they do well, then they make it to the union level. Well, I have to put that in the plan, because then after that, they have to go to the NAD level. So it's certain things that I roll out to them to say, okay, March of this date, you know, we have to have the union so they can go too. All right. So now it's inclusive, because you have your youth, then you have your young adults, because some of your young adults are the ones who are mentoring and equipping and empowering the youth, because they're the coaches.
That's right.
All right. So that's in March. So then you may say, okay, after March, what's next? Because also in March, you have, before PBE on our level, we have the More Compassion Union mission trip. Many people like to go overseas. We have a lot of mission fields right here in the States. So we prepare that, because we do that along with the Global Youth Day.
Wow.
1 week prior. So certain things are already built in. Then when, I'm just skipping now, you have the summer months, summer camp. I may come and I may support, because how many young adults work at summer camp? So I'm just coming, praying, supporting, keep up the good work, how you doing? And if the youth director asks me to preach or meet with the team, meet with them before they go to work, what to expect, those are the things that I do. I can't say how I do that daily. I plan things in advance.
Okay. All right.
So yeah. I process, I think even with the podcast, I gave you a month and a half or 2 months. Because I'm moving constantly, but I plan in advance. I also do maybe a week of prayers every year, you know, to stay active. Although we're in an office, we still want to be relevant to the local church. So I preach at a lot of camp meetings, a lot of youth rallies, and they may, a youth director may call me and say, hey, a youth group is trying to put on a purity conference. Will you go and help assist them? But they tell me that in advance.
Yeah.
So we plan everything. When we sit down, hey, we do purity conferences. So do we need to do one? Or do we need to do a youth or a young adult prayer conference? Because I'm prayer ministries. What are the needs? After we figure out what the needs, because the needs in Oklahoma may be different than Texaco. It may be Growing Young Initiative. I may need to just help get the resources, get the book, pass the books out. Are we getting books for ministers? Are we giving them a quick overview of what is taking place in the Growing Young Initiative? Those are things. So I kind of plan a year out.
Okay. Yeah.
Instead of a day to day. Of course, in my day to day, try to have my personal devotional time, et cetera, et cetera. All right.
All right. Okay. So it seems that even though it's a lot of stuff, if you're intentionally planning and really focused on preparation, it alleviates, I guess, from what I'm getting from you, is the stress of things like that. But when you have things prepared in advance, things start to come together. So
they can roll easy. Yeah. Two things, Eric, I'll say to you that I kind of process, all right? One is, time is money and money is time. You process that however you want to. That's a practical tip, all right? The second thing that I would say to you is, I strive on trying to do everything decently and in order.
Wow.
Just process them however, decently in order, that's the word of God, all right? So let's plan properly so that we can be intentional, and time is money and money is time.
Awesome.
Process that.
I love it. And tying into that, moving on to engaging with youth and young adults, how do you feel about us as a church, as a denomination, with engaging with young adults today? How do you feel we are doing? Are we getting better? Are we static? Are we at a plateau? How do you feel we are doing?
collectively, I think that the church, and I am probably speaking from the North American division because I'm directly on that point. I can't speak for the GC. I don't know all of the other divisions, so let me be politically correct in that. The North American division, from what I have seen, are making leaps and they're making huge leaps, let me use that term, in being intentional in putting the young adults ministry at the forefront of what needs to take place and has been taking place for the past 5 years. As I stated, I was hired by the Southwestern Union to be the young adult director. That's not the youth director. That's a different umbrella, okay? I do youth ministries. I'm not mad about that. I love it. But the point is, young adults is a different mindset. So when you're intentional to say, here's an 18-year-old to 35, and I break that down, 18 to 23/24, 24 to 29, 29 to 35, three different categories, what am I doing for that 18 to 24 who's trying to find him or herself, okay? Find who they are, however you want to place it, you know, or what vocabulary you want to use, who am I, okay? So I think the church is being intentional and trying to equip and empower them, and I think we're doing better. Have we arrived? Probably not, okay? Mm-hmm. Because in the world in which we live, it's ever-changing.
Yeah, yeah.
But are we trying? Yes. Are we sitting there doing nothing? Specifically for the Southwestern Union, we are working. Period.
Awesome. Awesome. You did mention growing young really quickly, but I wanted to check with you on that. How do you see growing young working in Southwestern Union? How is it really empowering and engaging with young adults in your union?
I think the most important thing that's relevant to me is sharing information, which becomes educational. Then it's up to the individuals who have been informed to make the moves on it. I think the young adults are appreciative that the research has been done and that people are being exposed to it. And then after they're being exposed to it, then it's up to that local church, and churches have their own DNA, to make some adjustments. I think one of the big things is sharing that the concept may be, for example, keychain leadership, unlocking it, all right? An older individual allowing a younger person to lead out. Certain churches welcome that. Other churches, the older individuals are still trying to hold on to the keys. But by bringing the knowledge, oh, that's the perception that you have of me? Well, now let me release the key versus give me your keys. Get the difference?
Yes, yes. Okay? I like that.
Well, the perception now is, because your generation is, keys were important. We don't need keys. They can unlock everything on this. What do I need a key for? They don't know. What you using that for? Okay? So it's educational, putting people at ease, then people becoming more receptive.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I like that. It's definitely something I've heard a lot with growing young. Some people have said, even saying growing young puts off a church, but if they say growing together or something like that, the people become more receptive in understanding that it's not just only a youth ministry kind of program. It's actually an intergenerational program. So
that is correct.
So that's really interesting. So
multi-generational church.
Yes, yes. So going along with that, intergenerational relationships and multi-generational churches, how do you think a church that does see the need that they need to have keychain leadership, how do you think that older generation can mentor the younger generation better?
To me, it's about building relationships. I think a lot of young people are looking to listen and process Now, what they do with the knowledge, that's something different. But if they know that here's somebody I can talk to, I think we will continue to grow collectively. I do. Okay. And not about the young people trying to rush or force somebody out, because a lot of older people, their ownership is the church. Mm. That's their life. So if they listen and respect their point of view, they may not have to agree with everything, but respect their point of view, then the older generation will hear them. They may not agree with everything either, okay? But you come to some type of common ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not addressing, and I don't know who's watching this, but I'm not addressing doctrinal thoughts. I'm addressing leadership concepts.
Yeah.
Just, do I get keys? I'm a board member. You voted me to have the keys, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Who have the keys to go open the church gym? The church have a gym, but people don't want to give the keys up to go open the gym.
Mm.
Well, we can bring 30 young people to keep them off the streets at the church gym if you just give me the keys. Oh, I'm not responsible, but I work at IBM or Dell, and I'm a project manager of a $2 million project, but you don't want to give me keys. Those are the concepts I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I don't want anybody to twist it to say your theology, because that's what a lot of people have issues with too. Well, we don't trust them because we don't know what they believe. Well, that's a different situation.
Mm. Wow. Wow. So how do you think, going along into that answer, how do you think a church can have that conversation to understand what is going through the minds of both generations, to have that consensus, to have that common ground? How do you feel that initiation can start? Should it be the young adults coming to the older generation saying, hey, we just want to hear from you how to be better leaders? Or should it be the older generation that initiates and say, hey, we're ready to give up the keys, but we want to know where you're coming from. We want to know what you believe in. How does it start?
It depends on, from my experience, the individuals that you're dealing with. I have an example down in Houston that once a month now, the younger generation is leading out in the service. Mm. And they have a support group that's supporting that. Once a month, not every week. You get that church has accepted it once a month, okay? Based on the churches, but generally speaking, I think just a meeting of the minds, whoever initiates it has to be led by the Holy Spirit, and people have to be receptive, and then the Holy Spirit does the work.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So basically somebody in that church needs to just come up and say, hey, let's have a conversation. Let's find the common ground so that everyone can be empowered and have a cohesive group that's working together intergenerationally in the church. So
that's it. 100%. Awesome. Whether it's a 5-year-old, whether it's a 25-year-old, whether it's a 55-year-old, the Holy Spirit will lead.
Wow. Wow. It's interesting because that's something that I always hearken back to, in the fact that the history of the church started with young adults. Mm-hmm. The history of the early church started with young adults, and mm-hmm. it was that discipleship model that Jesus had. So it's mm-hmm. it's something I think the church really should remember to initiate in their churches. And
the young adults can learn a lot from the older generation if they will listen. Like, we talk about this concept of we are listening, but what is listening? Hearing what the other person said without a preconceived idea. But many young people already have a preconceived idea that the old people set in their ways. And the old people have a preconceived idea that the young people know everything and won't listen.
Wow.
So it has to be through prayer that the Holy Spirit puts us in a position of we are listening.
Wow. I like that. So basically, both sides need to come down, come together, and say, hey, whatever preconceived notion that we both have, we have to shut that out and really, really listen and not just say we're listening just for the sake of listening, but truly be listening. Wow. I like that. I like that. My question for you also now is, in this field, in youth ministry, what do you think is the most difficult part of being in youth ministry?
That's a loaded question. I don't know necessarily how to answer that. Maybe I will speak from the perspective of meeting the needs and not necessarily knowing what the needs are when the needs are constantly changing, if that makes any sense. And let me be slightly, I'll give a few quick examples here. So as a young adult ministry director at a union level, I want to equip and empower that youth director. Then that youth director want to empower and equip that local church level. But a lot still is based upon relationships. So how can I give you what you need if I don't have a relationship necessarily? And then sometimes what you're told your need may not, what we're told the needs are may not necessarily be the needs. It's like passing a message down. I say one thing to you, you say to somebody, you say sometimes it's broken down and it's not necessarily all of that. But I'll give you a better example. Sometimes it's very hard to want to protect young adults when we're living in a cruel world with sex trafficking. When you're dealing with abuse, how many youth and young adults are dealing with that? So maybe my office needs to make sure that we are even equipped better with saying, here is a number for suicide prevention. Let's keep this ever before. Let's keep it on everywhere where we're trying to protect. But I don't know what the needs are. I may hear one or two isolated instances because I'm looking at a scope. But if I have five youth directors and all of them are dealing with abuse or bullying or, you know, whatever, maybe some resources. Now, we have resources at the North American Division. We have resources even here. But sometimes what are the actual resources? Because what's cyberbullying versus regular bullying? I mean, because everything changed so quickly, is being constantly equipped to try to help. That's probably the challenge, if that makes any sense.
Oh,
it makes not sense. That I can do, you know, everything, and not that I, you know, I'm not God, but I want to be as effective as possible. So that if somebody asks me a question, I'm able to say, boom, 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 boom. Here's a resource to help, boom, 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 boom. But sometimes things happen so fast, I don't even know what's going on. So it's also trying to stay connected to the generations. Like we talk about millennial generation, but I mean, your Generation Z, I think right now their age is 7 to 22, so they're already a young adult. So it's a whole nother generation.
That's right.
That we got to catch up on, if that makes any sense. Just trying to ever stay relevant is probably the way I should narrow it down.
I completely understand what you're saying there. It's like we're playing catch up. I think that's what you're basically saying. Because it's it keeps changing. So it's like we're catching up to what's changing. So it's like we're running a little bit behind the race and trying to catch up. But
right, because what goes into that is, okay, if sex trafficking is big, do you hear about that at a local church? Maybe not. But how many young adults are or youth are impacted by that?
Wow.
I'm in the Southwest. San Antonio is ranked 2 or 3. what resources do I have? I'm in Dallas, which is 4.5 hours away from San Antonio. It doesn't mean it don't happen here. How many borders are near me?
Wow. Yeah.
You see, that's the passion of trying to protect and evangelize and care and love. And but what resources do I give them? Wow. So, yes, we've had a rally dealing with that. We've had heard a young lady give her testimony of how she got free. That's wow. real live ministries. And we're trying to still say, okay, now do we have counselors?
Wow. So yeah, so that's a powerful statement and testimony from where you're coming from. And thank you so much, Pastor Helvis, for what you do in Southwestern Union, and your ministry. Will continue to pray for you and what you do. But as we usually do on this podcast, I leave it to the guests to give some words of encouragement. Someone in a local church who is in youth ministries, who is feeling downtrodden or wondering how to start intergenerational relationships in his local church, what words of encouragement could you give right now to anyone who is trying to run away from the call of youth ministries?
Hey, keep God first. Know that you're not alone, all right? Know that he will fight the battles. Know that he's in love with you. And if he loves you, he loves others. So the people around you, he not only wants to bless you, but he wants to allow you to be a blessing to them. So always remember, it's not about you. Can ministry be overwhelming? Of course it can. All right? Of course. But we don't have to carry the burden. Jesus carries the burdens. We lay them at the altar. And at the altar, there's healing. At the altar, there's deliverance. At the altar, there's peace. At the altar, there's none other than Jesus Christ, who's paid it all for you and I. And please know, he's in love with you. He will equip you. He will give you strength. He will put people around you to do great and mighty things. My favorite Bible text is this, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not about me. It's about him. Earlier, Eric asked me, man, there's a lot going on. It's not me. It's him giving me strength. And I recognize that. I humble myself and I give him all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And it's my prayer that you will be strong in the Lord. You have a team. If you can call your youth director, you can call your union director, you can call the NAD, you can get ideas. We work together, we share ideas. You can tell them to call. Whatever the case may be, there are so many different creative things. And then take this, take the things you like to do and turn it into ministry. And watch God bless it. And then motivate others to do that. Whether that's sports ministry and give a Bible study before they play basketball. Wow, yes, it's possible. Okay, soccer, motorcycle ministry. Motorcycles, some bikers are gangsters, yes. But everybody needs love. God is love. Even the hardest person has a soft spot. Love. Whatever the ministry, cars, whatever, horses, whatever the ministry, you can make what you like into a ministry. And may you be encouraged and be blessed. And know that even if you don't see results here on earth, there'll be no starless crowns in heaven. As I always say, I love you, but God.